Watching the Monkey.
Hello, folks. Welcome back to the, what is it? The Art of Being with the Act Matrix Podcast.
Right.
Yeah, and I'm one of your hosts, Kevin Polk. And
I'm Phil today. I'm one of the other hosts.
And Phil is going to give us a word from, today's our guest is going to be Lee McCluskey.
Right.
But before we talk to Lee, we have to be good and do our sponsor.
Right.
So Phil's going to do that.
All right. So very quickly, folks, a word from our sponsor, which is Kevin and I. The ACT Matrix Certification Program is able to bring you the podcast. And that's what we use. We generate funds from that to keep this podcast going. And the idea behind the ACT Matrix Certification is we're working to build a community of like-minded folks who are into doing generous work and having collaborative conversations and helping, you know, those that we serve keep going to wherever they want to get to in their life. And to do that, for you to become involved in ACT Matrix Certification, you can sign up for the training through the ACT Matrix website. And the training itself is free. And then when you're ready, you would go for certification and we would walk you through that. And again, the podcast is our way of generating conversations with people like Lee that come on and share what they're up to with the ACT Matrix. So back to you, Kevin.
Okay. Well, we'll just turn it over to Lee and he will tell us where he's from and what he's going to talk about in terms of the Art of Being and whatever he's doing with the ACT Matrix.
Great. Lee. Hey, so I'm Lee McCluskey, and I am here in beautiful San Antonio, Texas. I am currently doing some work with a new approach to treating substance abuse and PTSD that we're calling TAPS.
Oh.
TAPS stands for Treating Avoidance in PTSD and Substance Use.
Okay.
And sort of comes at PTSD and substance abuse or substance use from the standpoint of behavioral economics. So it's a really sort of
Kahneman
apparently influenced treatment, but it's also very relational and experiential. And one of the things that I really like about the ACT Matrix is that it sort of puts the experience of the individual to the forefront of sort of the way that people plan what they're going to do from moment to moment to moment. And one of the things that we're doing in TAPS is really focusing on sort of how addiction and avoidance in general sort of occurs topographically, you know, in time. And so that's kind of what influenced me to begin doing this type of work. It wasn't even anything that I really set out or intended to do. I had, over the years, so I went to graduate school at West Virginia. So I was a behaviorally trained psychologist. And came here to San Antonio to do my internship and then stayed on and did fellowship here. And really kind of was mostly interested in doing ACT type work and interested in doing exposure-based therapies.
Yep.
My background, before going to graduate school, actually, I was an addictions counselor for 9 years.
Okay.
And was working in the Mississippi Delta doing addiction counseling. And so in 2007, I took a training from Kelly Wilson, was who that was from. And he and I became friends after that and have been friends since then.
Okay.
And I became interested in avoidance in general as a principle and in mindfulness in particular as a way of sort of addressing avoidance. And so went back to school and was in a mindfulness lab doing mindfulness research from the time I started school till the time I ended school. That was at Delta State University for a while.
I've seen it. I've driven right by there.
Yeah. And then at Mississippi State, where I got my master's degree, I was doing sort of mindfulness and avoidance-based research in anxiety disorders. And then at West Virginia, I was doing
In Morgantown?
In Morgantown, yes.
Oh, yep.
Yeah.
In with Natalie Shook,
yep.
In anxiety and depression and behavioral activation treatments,
mm.
and how they relate to avoidance and mindfulness and negativity biases and, you know, cognitive biases, mm. for threat. And once I ended up coming here to do internship, I went to work at the South Texas Research Organization guiding studies on trauma and resilience, and was a study therapist on some of Edna Foa's clinical trials for prolonged exposure with combat related PTSD.
I know Edna.
Yeah, so it was great. It was a really cool experience. I wasn't expecting to like be involved in something so like I had no idea that I was even kind of stepping into that when I matched here.
Yep.
And it was really neat though. And so I started doing exposure therapy. I had done some of that in grad school too. and then started a fellowship where I focused on research in PTSD and substance use. And, from my background as a substance abuse counselor, I really was interested in, because I knew that nobody was talking about avoidance behaviors as they related to substance use. And it seemed to me that that was like, that's what it was.
Yeah. You know, I mean, that's the way we draw it on the matrix.
Yeah, that's exactly how we do it.
Yeah. And so, I got with the chief of alcohol and drugs addiction at UT Health Sciences during fellowship, and he and I sort of started talking about the available treatments for PTSD and substance use and some of the problems that that seem to have arisen in the different studies for those. And we both came to the conclusion that avoidance seemed to be the primary engine in both problems. And so from there, we sort of started this really sort of single subject, grassroots sort of stuff where we were like doing A/B design and like putting in like various treatment components and then pulling them out and seeing what was going on. And from that, we started to develop the TAPS model, and we're really happy with the way things are going. Several people here in San Antonio have started using it with their patients, and
right.
We're in the process of just beginning a pilot trial, like a grant-funded pilot trial, and the outcomes are really promising. With most patients have been their PTSD checklist scores are well below clinical levels by the time they finished. And the substance abuse outcomes are pretty good too. So, you know, substance abuse is a tough beast to treat.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
One of the things that I really like about the matrix and in understanding the matrix as a way of sort of approaching values-based activities is in TAPS, what we're doing is the three major components are exposure activities, sort of values-based activities that the individual engages in the community. So like values-based community, reinforcement-based activities, like behavioral activation.
Right, community reinforcement model.
Community reinforcement. Yeah. And then like in-session reinforcement, like relationship-focused reinforcement for change behavior. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So we have been really influenced by ACT, really influenced by functional analytic psychotherapy. I personally, you know, have been trained in both those models, and they have influenced me as a human being, you know, intensely.
Yeah.
And so we brought all of that together. We're actually working, we have as a consultant on the team, like community reinforcement, one of Nate Azrin's former grad students is on the team that's helping to develop the manual. And we're really excited about doing the work. But it's about approaching, you know, these things in our lives that are important to us and finding meaning and purpose there.
Yep. That's the art of being.
That's it.
Yes. Yes. And I think it's, and in doing that, you know, we go back to the Nietzsche quote that Viktor Frankl used, you know, if someone who, and this is a misquote, but you know, if there's a great enough why, you can handle almost any how.
Yeah. Yep.
So we take this sort of experiential existential approach to doing the exposures. So like, yes, this is going to be uncomfortable, but you know, how is it going to provide meaning and purpose to your life that you're able to engage in these activities that you previously avoided?
Yes.
So the exposure activities sort of center on both imaginal exposure and what we're calling in vivo exposure with stimulus. I mean, not in vivo exposure, interoceptive exposure with guided imagery and stimulus control.
Wow.
Yeah. So at the end of the imaginal exposure, we have the person sort of center on their body and what they're feeling and move straight into this sort of interoceptive process and then guide them through like almost a meditation where we have them look at themselves, look at their thoughts, and sort of try to manipulate that relationship using stimulus control processes. Gotcha. Yeah.
Wow. Heady stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're very, very excited about it. And it's really, yes, about sort of moving toward that which is going to give your life the most meaning, that which is going to give your life the most purpose, and reinforcing the therapeutic relationship and the interaction, and being willing to spend that and let the patients know how much you appreciate their willingness to spend that time with you and to let you be a part of their healing, you know. So we really open up and try to be as present with the patients as we can.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun. We're enjoying the work, and like I said, everyone here, we are all, you know, very appreciative of the things that we've learned doing ACT over the years, and I think, and doing functional analytic psychotherapy over the years as well. I was really involved in and all the way through grad school, like the FAP special interest group. The ABCT FAP special interest group and was supervised at one time by one of Jonathan Cantor's former grad students.
Yeah, I've met him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's
there's some FAP people hanging around the matrix.
Right?
yeah.
FAP functional analytic psychotherapy folks hanging about.
Yeah,
Matrix sort of goes everywhere, so I get to meet some people.
And I think it's a beautiful, way of understanding experience, you know?
Yeah.
It's because, I mean, that's really kind of the gist of what I think is therapy. It's like to help patients understand their experience and be willing to kind of accept that.
Sounds like Mr. Rogers.
Yeah.
Yes.
I usually wear a cardigan. I could put that on.
Yeah, there you go.
I didn't wear one today. It was
hot here. Yeah, why not? Yeah, go for it.
Bill and I have done our Mr. Rogers episodes.
Put your sneakers on.
But it is that kind of thing that you're saying. It's okay to have these experiences.
Yeah, sitting with them and
sit with them and accept them, and they're part of you.
Mm-hmm. I have a 5-year-old, and he has been so there's Mr. Rogers. I don't know if you guys are acquainted with like all of the stuff going on PBS now, but Daniel Tiger.
Yes.
I've seen
a little cartoon.
Absolutely.
And my little boy loves to watch it. It's just nice. I tried to get him to watch Mr. Rogers, like old clips of Mr. Rogers, and he's like, what is this?
Yeah, it's fast as Daniel Tiger. Right? But Daniel Tiger, he goes for it, right?
I think Mr. Rogers, you're really young and you like it. Yeah. And then you get old like us and you go back and you really like it. You really appreciate it.
being up in West Virginia, we were so close to Pittsburgh.
You were next door to him.
You were right below.
I know. Like I would see things like that he would have on his show when we'd be going through Pittsburgh. I'd be like, oh, there's that thing that was on Mr. Rogers.
That's cool.
Yeah. And when they would go like on Daniel Tiger, even they had a, like the family went out for like a wilderness day, and where they went out in West Virginia, close to where we lived. And I was like, hey, that's where we took the kids.
So say you're channeling Mr. Rogers.
It all comes back to Mr. Rogers. It all comes back.
Yeah. All right. I think we might be.
And that's certainly not a bad thing.
Yeah.
Yes.
Sure. Well, that's cool. So you're sort of, you are combining up PTSD and substance use.
And so when you think about the functional relationship between those two problems, I mean, it's really that it's almost like a perfect storm. As the person, you know, let's say you have a person whose life is really full, going back to those rich versus lean studies of, you know, mice that look at addiction, you know, the rich versus lean cages, the rich versus lean environment.
Yeah.
And you take a person whose life is really full and, you know, PTSD starts, they start to avoid the different, you know, relationships that make their life full.
Yeah.
They start to avoid the different activities that make their life full. You know, they start to avoid family members. They start to avoid friends. They start to avoid, you know, work because it all like cues the PTSD. Substance use, you know, is a really effective way to avoid those things. It's not a healthy way, but it's a really effective way to avoid those things. And it causes, you know, those things that used to be reinforcers to begin to function as punishers in many ways because they are related to sort of like your family's giving you, you know, grief about how much you're drinking and you're, you know, you lose your job over how much you're drinking or school, you know. Yeah. And so really looking at, I mean, we really focus in on those different areas with TAPS and begin to try to, via behavioral activation and community reinforcement, rebuild those sort of relationships. And we leave it open. So like if people are interested in doing 12-step stuff, they can schedule those activities in there. If they're interested in doing sort of religious activities, they can schedule those activities in there. And we want it to be as wide open as we can let it be and still sort of maintain that what we're doing is we're trying to increase this level of reinforcement. Mm-hmm. It seems like when both of these problems take over, And this was something I noticed after I started working, you know, with veterans who have both problems. The PTSD is the, like we would see PCL scores where before when I was working at Strong Star doing the PTSD studies, our scores would be, you know, in the 40s. And then my people who had substance abuse, once I started seeing them, their PCL scores would be in the 60s and 70s. It was like the two problems together, you know, made both problems so much worse. And it's almost like a psychological perfect storm, you know, because they're both so based in avoidance. And it seems like the patients really love the therapy, which is weird for an exposure-based treatment. But we're getting, I think it's that we're trying to develop the therapeutic relationship in such a way that they understand why they need those exposures, and that they really kind of, we're kind of having to kind of turn people away with the amount of response that we're getting. We're really happy with it. It is kind of a, now that I think about it, I do kind of function in a very Mr. Rogers-esque sort of way.
There you go. That's a cool thing to do. Now, if people, sounds like you're going to be publishing on this.
We have several things in the work. The first two papers actually got revised and resubmit, and we resubmitted them, and then they were both case study, case series sort of things, and we ran into some difficulty with the resubmission, and so we're in the process. They've been sort of written. The manual has been written, but the manual is still sort of related to the ongoing trial. But we're hopefully going to publish the clinical trial design pretty soon as well.
Okay. And, well, just because Bill and I will get questions. How do I find out more?
Right. Mm-hmm. The people will be really interested.
And I need to know where to send them.
Yeah.
Yes, and so my this is I'll give you guys my UT School of Medicine email too. So it's,
well, you can send the links to Kevin, and we'll
send the links to me,
that, and
I will include the links. They can
email me, and we can even we're putting together. So I did a training for the postdocs over at Strong Star recently, which is that.
What's Strong Star?
Oh, it's the South Texas Research Organization Guiding Studies on Trauma and Resilience.
That's a great name.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Guys, that's got some good acronyms down there.
I work
there.
With Dr. Foa, and Patty Riesick is also doing trials over there.
I know Patty Riesick.
Yeah, and also the people who are doing written exposure therapy are doing some of their clinical trials there with Strong.
Well, there you go. You get. I don't know them.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm trying to think of her name. I didn't do any of that work, and it was kind of just new. But they're also doing stuff with like pharmaceutical trials over there. It's a big PTSD research consortium. Mm. So they have and it's all sort of headed by Dr. Alan Peterson, who is a retired lieutenant colonel.
Wow.
And Air Force Lieutenant Colonel, and he's a behaviorally focused psychologist. He was one of Nate Asrin's grad students.
Oh, so he's around the big Air Force base down there.
Yes, he's a really great guy too. Super nice. They've done lots and lots of trials, and I can also send a link to their website because they have.
Oh, please do. And that way people can just, if you're listening, once you get to some place where you can park, because people listen to the podcast while they're driving. So don't get it. But once you can get, it will be in the show description, coming out of SoundCloud and iTunes and stuff. And of course I'll put it in the links and stuff below the YouTube video. So,
and Dr. John Roach, who is one of my co-developers. So it's myself and Dr. Roach, who is a longtime professor of medicine there at UT Health Sciences.
UT He's also Health affiliated Sciences. Yep,
with,
yep.
With Strong Star. So he's the deputy director there. And then I also wanted to mention Dr. Reginald Riggins, who is another psychologist here at South Texas. And he's been instrumental in helping me to sort of understand and put together kind of the in-session activities of TAPS. He and I have sort of spent many, many hours talking that over, and he's the another one of the co-developers, and he's pretty remarkable too. And so I wanted to mention those two gentlemen.
Well,
because great. They're yeah. spectacular.
Wow. Well, this is exciting work.
Yes.
So yeah, give me all those links and stuff, and I'll put them in the show descriptions, mm-hmm. YouTube and that.
Yeah.
And so we'll look forward to seeing those publications.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to getting them out too.
Yeah, right.
I'm a full-time clinician pretty much. And so yeah. I do have, because I got the research grant, I do have some of my time devoted to the research project. But mm-hmm. I mean, deep down, I love the clinical work so yeah. much that I have to tear myself yeah. away from it.
That's
you
terrible.
Know? Mm-hmm. And it's kind of, Dr. Roach was the big influence on us doing the research portion, because he's a full-time researcher, and my whole thing was, I really was kind of like, okay, I we can do this, but
yeah,
I really love doing, I mean, like my heart is in the clinical work more.
Well, that's
than,
where you started, Lee, as you said, yeah, you know? Yeah.
Yeah. It's I love doing therapy for more than anything else I've ever figured out that I could do for a living. And I've
wow.
done some crazy things. Like I was I worked in factories for a couple of years out of high school, and I built wooden pallets and built picture frames.
Uh-huh.
I was an OR aide and a carpenter.
Oh my goodness. Jack of all trades.
There you go.
Yeah.
Lovely.
And then I became an addiction counselor. Strangely, it was funny. I was I got hired as the maintenance guy at a treatment center. And I was really interested in meditation and in yoga. I had been doing yoga and meditation for a long time. And started having these conversations with the treatment director.
This was over on the in the Delta?
Yeah.
Over in the Delta. Right?
Yeah.
And he David Cook was his name. And he was just, and he thought, after having these conversations with me, he said, you know, Lee, I think you'd make a good counselor. And so they sent me to training to be an addiction counselor. And it kind of started off from there, and
a cool story.
I was changing light bulbs when it happened. I was up, and he came in. I said,
"Okay, I gotta ask what town in the Delta?"
So it was at in Clarksdale.
Okay, I've been to Clarksdale
at a little treatment center called Fairland Center.
I've probably been right by it.
It's in, so it's outside of Clarksdale. It's funny, back then I was working for the mental health center there in Clarksdale, but after the treatment center, and we had Kelly come in and do training with us, and Maureen Flynn actually came out there to the treatment
center. Oh wow, I know. Yeah, Maureen.
Mo came out and like did some observation and stuff at our treatment center back when she was a grad student. And
wow, I met her back in the day. I don't know if you know, but a couple of times I traveled to the Delta. I went to Mound Bayou, Mississippi.
Oh yeah, so that's right outside of Cleveland.
And what? Yes, it is. And one of the first trip, I had just begun an interest in ACT, and it so happened that a graduate student from the University of Mississippi had been accepted at the TOGAS VA clinical internship program.
Oh, that's so cool.
And so he had said during his interview or whatever that, you know, if you're coming Kelly's way, you ought to get a hold of him. So I did. So I went from Mound Bayou, which is a very, very, very small, impoverished town on the Delta. But I went over to the University of Mississippi and presented to Kelly Wilson's graduate students in his living room. And that is portrayed in the book. I think the first book, right?
Yeah, the first book you talked about that.
Oh, that's
that
so
I
cool.
talked about going to do that. So that was in 05, I think. Mm. And so then wow. And a couple of years later, I went back because it was a school up here goes down and does, you know, fix up work down there, sort of Habitat for Humanity kind of stuff. And so I went to the Mound Bayou once again.
Oh, that's so cool.
But that time I did not go see Kelly that time, but the first time I did, and we were all over, but including Clarksdale.
Mm-hmm. I know that he was after that he started thinking about doing the I was going to help him with that at one point in time. He and I had discussions about it, the hometown science project.
I saw something about that, but I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know if it ever sort of took off.
Don't know. Yeah, I don't
but
know
it was
either.
Gonna be, I was very excited about it. He was going to try to put together a sort of pipeline from the Mississippi Delta to yeah. Ole Miss to kind of get students from the Delta over there into school.
That would be an amazing thing.
Mm. I know. I mean, that's a pretty, I went through lots of struggles when I was there working, and there was one week where my office actually got broken into 3 times in 1 week.
Oh my.
Yeah, it was really sort of, and come to find out it was a group of teenagers
that was
doing it, and there was a lot of struggles there, but I think it is such a place that needs services.
It needs services. It
people does. There who are there to care about it.
If you want to ever go see a place that's been sort of trashed into the rubbish bin of life, it's the Mississippi Delta.
Yeah, there's been a lot of, it's a really.
And it's the home of the blues.
Yes, and it's a beautiful place too. Like, you never know what's going to happen. I remember I was sitting in a restaurant. You never know who you'll see there. Like, you might see Robert Plant walking down the street.
Yeah. Oh, he's hung out down there for years, right? Know, yeah.
Or you might see like Clint Eastwood.
Yeah.
Like, who's there quite often.
What is that?
Like, I remember I took my, this was many years ago. I was dating a woman. It was when I was single. And I took her to dinner.
Let's hope so, right?
You were. Yeah. I was like, I wasn't married.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I took her to dinner on New Year's Eve, and Morgan Freeman was at the table next to
me. I was going to say, because he bought a bunch of property down there and made it for bees.
Yes. And actually, that property is right outside of my hometown, which is a little tiny town that has like maybe 600 people in it.
Mm. Wow.
Called Crowder, Mississippi. It's in the Mississippi Delta. It's about 40 minutes from Oxford, I guess.
Yeah.
I went to South Panola High School, which is in Batesville, which is right outside of Oxford.
Oh my gosh.
Isn't
that Delta University you went to? That's in Clarksdale, right?
It's in Cleveland.
Cleveland, that's it. Because we kept driving right by it for some reason on one of those trips.
Yeah, it's a small school. It was, I think, the psychology department was really, I think the classes were really great there. It was really focused on teaching students. It would have the amount of research opportunities weren't as great because it was a small university.
Very small university. Oh, yeah, in the Mississippi Delta, yeah.
Yeah, you got, but you also had the opportunity to get really individualized instruction from the faculty and that kind of thing. Yeah. And so it was a pretty good, I mean, like, great. I felt like my classwork was really great there. And then I went from there, and
now you're going to be an internationally famous PTSD.
Yeah, right.
I don't know.
Wow, you have a heck of a story.
And
lots of great stories come out of the Mississippi Delta. Come on, that's just a great place.
I think. Yeah, I mean, it's that's
talk about Tennessee the Heroes Williams Quest. From.
Yeah, right.
Right, right. That's the Hero's Quest, and we're coming out of the Delta.
Taking it with you. all the way.
I mean, Tennessee Williams.
Yeah.
You know, there's so much that came out of the Delta. I mean, and then you had Faulkner that was just right around the corner.
Right around the corner.
Yeah.
There.
Yep.
You know, I think.
Well, what the guy, the devil guy. Come on. Oh, sheesh.
Robert Johnson.
Robert Johnson. The rumor was that he made a deal with the devil.
He
disappeared for a couple of years. When he first disappeared, before he disappeared, he couldn't play the guitar very well. And then he comes back a couple of years later or something, and he can play like a madman.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so the rumor had it that he made a deal with the devil.
And I think there's some really good documentaries on that too.
I watched one of them.
My wife and I watched them. There's some beautiful blues music that comes out of the hill country too, the Mississippi, North Mississippi hill country.
Go over the hill country, yep.
And like R.L. Burnside and his family.
Yeah.
Strange piece of trivia, or interesting thing to note. I was talking about Dr. Riggins, who's one of the co-developers of FAP.
Yeah.
R.L. Burnside is his great uncle.
Oh my!
Yeah,
that's a general, folks.
Isn't that something?
It was his dad's uncle. Yeah.
Well, I have kinfolk from there down. Jefferson Davis is. I'm somehow related to him.
Oh wow!
He's got what Biloxi's where they got his monument and stuff. I think somewhere around there. He was president of the Confederacy. So when you go down there, folks, you're going to run into the Confederacy.
Yeah, you will. I've been running away from it.
Just understand that. That's just part of this. You accept it.
Yeah.
Accept it. So any who's, well, this has been wonderful. Yeah. And you'll get me all that good information.
Yeah.
And we'll have you back on after you get it published.
I would love to come back on. It was so nice to finally meet you guys again.
Yeah.
You know, we've talked for years on Facebook, probably 8 years. I think we've been friends on there.
Well, that's a great thing about these podcasts. We meet, you know, in quotes.
It's just these people that we have only corresponded with.
Right. You know, Australia, New Zealand.
Yeah. England.
England.
Singapore.
Yeah. We get around.
Yeah.
Via electronics, but it's very cool. You'll have to have me now. What I'll do after talking to you, Lee, is start thinking about Mexican food.
Oh yeah,
because I live up here in Maine, and what they miss up in Maine is Mexican food.
Mm.
They think they have Mexican food up here, but they don't really have Mexican food. when I made that trip back to and did a ACT conference back in the day. Man, my wife and I, we were hitting the Mexican food. I'm sure we gained several pounds, but it's worth it.
Good here in San Antonio.
I love, you know, they got those little, the ladies who make the tacos in their kitchens. And
the tamales.
The tamales.
Yeah.
Oh, man, those are so good.
Oh, they're so good here. And so I'm a vegetarian.
Oh no!
But I haven't been vegetarian the whole time I've been here, though.
That's impossible down there.
Oh yeah, it's you can get good vegetarian Mexican food, but I miss more than anything like the tacos al pastor.
Oh, man.
And I miss the barbecue, too. So
the barbecue, man. Oh, man.
When I was in West Virginia coming from Mississippi, and, you know, we were right up next to Memphis, and I miss the barbecue and catfish.
Oh, I love catfish, too. That's all I thought about. See, now you're going to make me put on weight.
Yeah. And so now I'm like –
So everybody listening to this podcast, one of your goals is to get me to come do a conference, guest speaking thing down in Texas. So
okay.
I'm always hitting people up for this. I never have managed to get the invite.
Invite. I'm trying to think of something that we do Houston here. Like, we have the big combat PTSD conference here is in San Antonio.
Well, I know. I mean, usually they come and they invite me. I mean, or they
pay. That's what I mean. I'm trying to think of if we could muster that. Like,
if you have, I'm like, listen, I have totally ulterior motives. I'm coming to eat Mexican food.
It's all about the food, Lee.
It's all about the Mexican food.
We do have some faculty members who are very, very matrix oriented. I think Katie Kanzler is her name.
Well, tell her to come on the podcast.
Yeah, I
will tell her. She's really seriously matrix a lot with primary care psychology.
Perfect.
Hey, Dr. Katie, whatever. I was just talking to Kevin and Phil.
They said,
come on now.
Bring your barbecue with you.
I'll send her a message. Actually trained when I was an intern. She trained my internship class in the ACT Matrix.
There you go.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Well, have her on. Yeah. We got to have her.
She's great. I think she has a study going on right now, too.
And you can tell her that, you know, these guys are really easy.
Yeah.
No, they're not.
Yeah. You can tell from your experience.
She would love to, I'm pretty sure. I'll talk to her about it.
We like to huck it up and talk. You just got me on, but the Delta stories are cool. Those are,
I have so many of them.
Poignant is the Mississippi Delta.
That's so good. Many of them. I wanted, when I was in high school, I wanted to be a writer.
That would work out. Yeah.
Story guy. You know, I love to tell stories.
Yeah. Well, why don't you, I'm sure you will do that. It's percolating.
Yeah.
Around to you one day.
And we use that word percolate a lot, Lee. So yeah, we lots of those stories percolating and you tell them well. So
it'll come around. It'll come around.
I have a desire to tell these stories of the characters from my childhood because there was a guy named Chili Jim. And a guy named Bicycle Bob.
Oh my God!
And I want to tell the stories of these people that I knew.
Yeah.
Well, please do so we can read them.
Yes.
Yeah, Rambo Jack. There was a Rambo Jack.
Oh, nice.
And they were all my grandfather's friends. And
so you are a storyteller.
Yeah, you're doing.
Yeah, I want to tell their stories so bad.
You can't help yourself.
I have little notes that I've taken on them over the years.
Start putting those things down. That'll be great.
Yeah.
It'll be fun.
I originally was an English major in college.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
Really wanted to write.
I was originally in electrical engineering. So, you know.
Wow.
You get around.
Yeah. I think that happens to psychologists a lot. You know,
just stumble into it.
Wander around and boink. Oh, okay, this looks good.
Basically, exactly. I was wandering around.
Me too.
Lost in the desert. Oh, okay, I think I'll try this.
It's like, how can I teach meditation to people? Was really sort of the thing that kind of led me into it. I want to teach meditation.
Uh-huh.
And guru does not, there aren't that many openings for guru.
I haven't checked lately, but I bet not. Yeah.
All those positions are filled.
They seem to be taken.
Yeah.
It helps if you put Swami and stuff in front of your name.
Oh, okay. That's a good stuff. Wow. Well, yeah. Phil and I mean, the first thing I now say is I'm a co-host of The Art of Being with the ACT Matrix podcast. Mm-hmm. So that's what I do now. Yep. And Phil and I have a time at this. And so anybody listening, including your colleague there.
Yes.
But anybody else, come on the podcast.
Yeah.
And, you know, tell us about what you do. Hey, I mean, come on. Lee got one hell of an art of being going on here.
Yeah.
We got the Mississippi come wandering up out of the Mississippi Delta. This is an art of being like no others.
So, yeah.
You don't have to have that though. You can come from anywhere and we will have you on the Art of Being with the ACT Matrix and talk about and have a good time and see what you're doing. And if you're like Lee, maybe you've incorporated the ACT Matrix into your stuff, to your shtick. And if not, that's okay too.
Yeah.
We just like talking with people. Oh, before you can't hold on.
He's got to do his thing. Lee, you have to name the podcast now. That's our tradition.
This segment is called Name the Podcast. I have my valuable sticky notes here. This is where I write the name of this podcast. I'm going to assume it has taps in it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Give me some more words, you writer, you English major, you. Give me some more words around taps.
Okay. Understanding TAPS, an experiential behavior analytic treatment for substance use and PTSD in light of the ACT Matrix.
Oh boy, an experiential. I got all the way up to an experience.
Yeah, we're almost there.
Yeah, I know it's long. Man, I got to figure out how to shorten those things. That's the wordiness. That's my Jack Kerouac, my inner Jack Kerouac.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Now, see, if you hang around me, you'll be talking in phrases instead of sentences. I'm a shortener.
Talking run-ons.
I'm a shortener.
Behavior analytic approach to treating PTSD.
Behavioral analytic BA approach
to
PTSD.
And substance use.
And substance abuse.
In light of the ACT Matrix. Yeah, so.
Now that I got.
Yep.
Yeah, cool.
Neat.
Perfect. Well, thanks so much for coming on.
All right. It's been really fun talking with you guys.
Oh, been
thanks
fun. So much. Really been, it's really been talking nice. With you.
Yeah. We will. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Have a good day.
And we'll talk soon. Bye-bye.
Yeah, bye. Okay, bye.